Hello, friends, and thank you so much for listening to the Hope Canteen Podcast, where every week we look at one of our readings for the coming Sunday for insight for our walk with Christ. This is our 20th episode of this show. My name is Steve London, pastor at St. Thomas Anglican Church, and I'm joined by Stephanie London, pastor at St. Thomas, St. Columba, and St. John's. You really get around, Stephanie. Michael Rolfe is on vacation this week. We hope he and Cora are having a great time. So how are you today, Stephanie?
Good. We survived the first day of school, so I'm happy about that. It warranted some ice cream afterwards.
Yes. Yeah, I actually had forgotten how much fun the first day is. The kids were actually pretty excited, even despite all this COVID stuff. They definitely had to wear their masks all day, but said it went okay. Mm-hmm. They got used to it. So this week's reading is a little different than our normal readings. It's not a story from Jesus or from the Old Testament. Rather, it is advice. If you wish to read it ahead of time, you can pause the podcast here. We are looking at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. The advice that Jesus is giving here is about conflict in the church. Now, this is probably not shocking to anyone that there is conflict in the church. People disagree. But the question is, how do you deal with that conflict in a good way? Well, here Jesus gives us a way to deal with conflict when it arises. He seems to have a four-step process. Step one, if someone sins against you, go and talk to that person. Two, if that doesn't work, then take someone with you to talk with them. Number three, if that doesn't work, bring it before the church. And number four, if that doesn't work, at the end, Jesus tells us to walk away. He tells us, quote, let them be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So, Stephanie, it's good to wrestle with this. I'm glad you're here to help me sort this out. I'm curious, what strikes you about this passage?
I remember one time going to the Bible and trying to look for something comforting. And as I looked through it, I realized that the Bible isn't really a book of easy comfort. You don't just go there for feel-good upbuilding. What strikes me about this passage is that Jesus dives right into something that's a reality about being human. He doesn't gloss over things that are more difficult. He goes right to conflict and gives us a way to deal with it. Yet again, it strikes me that he knows just what it's like to be human, and he doesn't shy away from those things. And conflict, of course, is a big part of being human.
Yeah, that's what strikes me as well. I really find Jesus to be a realist here. I think sometimes we have this idea that in the church we're supposed to be, of course, all about love, which we are, but love would mean something like we never get into conflict, and that's obviously not the case at all. Jesus is actually giving us a way to work through this conflict.
I also notice here that it doesn't say if someone sins against you, go and whisper to your friends about it. Jesus says, go and address this directly.
Yeah, I think that's the most helpful part of it. I have to confess, in my life, I've actually been quite averse to conflict.
Oh yeah, me too.
Sometimes I'd rather it just go away. And I think this is actually a very helpful reminder that conflict doesn't go away. It's actually very much a part of what it means to be human. And one of the interesting things I do find about conflict when I take Jesus step number one, and most of the time step number one works. When I just go to talk to somebody and we actually work it out, interestingly, our relationship is usually stronger. We've actually come to a new place in our relationship, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, Jesus does a lot of sideways addressing how to build the community, how to be a healthy body of Christ, a healthy family of the church. And this is one thing where he's very direct about it. And he does give us things that are helpful ways to be a healthier community.
Now, in saying that Jesus is a realist about conflict, I think it's important to realize why it's so important, though, to deal with conflict. Because yes, we are about love, we are about reconciliation. I think what's helpful about this, people often ask, well, why is forgiveness so important for Jesus? In so many places, he makes it absolutely contingent that our salvation is contingent on our forgiving other people as God has forgiven us. And the reason is we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are actually an icon. The reconciliation one with another is this icon of our greater reconciliation with God. We actually see that in the Eucharist. That's in fact what the Eucharist is about, that we share this bread, we share this wine, the body and blood of Christ, which is our reconciliation with God and our proclaiming that we are one in Christ as brothers and sisters. A beautiful image.
Yeah, so reconciliation is, and unity is one of the marks of the kingdom of God. So as we've been talking about, living more and more into the kingdom of God also involves living more and more into reconciliation and unity with each other.
Reconciliation, I think, is essential to the gospel because when we've talked about Jesus as a realist, there's going to be conflict, relationships are going to be broken, and in fact, we need a mechanism to keep those relationships from breaking forever. There has to be a way to mend them back together again, and that is this reconciliation. I was reading, thinking about this question of reconciliation and how important it is to live together as brothers and sisters. And as I was going through Paul, I was struck by how many times when he writes his congregations, how he's urging them to come together. Obviously, there was conflict in his churches, and he continually had to go back to this. In Romans, he writes, live in harmony with one another. In Thessalonians, he writes, live in peace with one another. To the church in Corinth, he wrote, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you. He says the same thing to the church in Ephesus. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. In Philippians, he says the same thing. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit and one mind. And interestingly, at the end of that Philippians letter in chapter 4, he actually pleads with two women in the church who are obviously having a disagreement, Euodia and Syntyche. And he encourages them to put their fighting aside and to come back together in the bond of peace.
I think another point that comes out in this reading is that unity and reconciliation don't just happen, that this is actually hard work. And sometimes it takes a lot of courage, like to go to someone who's hurt you and try to reconcile and try to bring what has happened to light and all those things. It takes courage. It's not easy.
I think that's why we keep coming back to this question of spiritual formation, because how do you find that inner strength to have that courage and to have that grace? Because if someone hurts you, honestly, the first reaction is to hurt them back, to get some kind of vengeance. And it's obviously one of the striking characteristics of Old Testament theology is to get rid of this retributive aspect, that the minimum that we do in terms of conflict is that we don't get revenge and actually desire to reconcile. That seems to me a huge part, Stephanie. You're right. It takes a lot of courage.
And it's moving towards building up the relationship rather than driving it farther and farther apart. I'm noticing in verse 15, just on that note, that it says, if the member listens to you, you have regained that one. So that's really the point of all this, is restoring that relationship and regaining the person.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. When I've had to deal with conflict, I just wanted to go back to your courage thing. For me, it's always a bit of a fearful thing. You know, how is that going to happen? What are they going to say? So I have to spend a little bit of time in prayer. I have to confess, I also kind of play the scenarios over in my mind, and it actually never works out exactly like I played it in my mind. But that prayer, I think, is important. You know, I'm praying for that desire to reconcile. I'm praying that, you know, I can do that. Because the reality is, if I'm going to this person, I've been hurt. And that's really hard to get past. So I think Jesus is actually asking something very big of us here, to actually go and deal with this conflict. Don't ignore it. Don't let the relationship stay broken. But actually go to that person. That's quite a significant... I have personally found that to be a very significant invitation.
Yeah, and I think another thing is that it's very possible that there's some imbalance of power here, that the person who's doing the hurting maybe holds some kind of authority. And yeah, it's really difficult to go and, I guess in a sense, speak truth to power, to go to say to someone, no, this is not okay. You've hurt me with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it strikes me in the church, when we're talking about conflict, often the conflict happens because two different people have a vision about what should be happening. And it usually has a lot to do with their love for the church and their love for God and their desire to see things happen in a certain way. And so it might not be clear to someone else that they've hurt you, that they may have felt they have done something in righteousness, that they feel they're in the right, you feel you're in the right. And so maybe that's why I think Jesus is saying to bring this next person, because there needs to be maybe an objective voice in the conversation to help figure it out.
Yeah, and a call within that to listen to each other and to actually understand, to get clarity around what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause as we know, there's a lot of conflict that thrives just in misinformation and silence and all those things.
That's exactly right. I think I find the verse 17 the hardest. We're talking about Jesus being a realist, and I think he seems to be indicating that sometimes, in fact, the reconciliation doesn't happen, that relationships are apart. And he says, let them be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector, which, of course, there's always the striking irony that Jesus hung out with tax collectors. And what did that mean? But I think my guess is the difference is those tax collectors that were listening to Jesus, they had an interest in what he had to say. They had an interest in changing their lives. I think what he's talking about in this verse 17 is people who have no interest in changing their lives, and you're just not going to reconcile in this case.
Yeah, we hear a lot in our culture about cutting people out and just like cutting them out of your life. And if you don't want to put up with something, you don't have to. And I think something to note about this passage is that this has come after like three different attempts at reconciliation. And Jesus will say, I think next week we're reading the reading about forgiving 70 times 7. It's not something that happens easily. It's not something that happens without a lot of effort and a lot of probably heartache and a lot of courage and a lot of communication. And I think it's important to remember that the relationship is an important thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about forgiveness next week in the podcast, because that's always a big question for people. I think one of the things I might say is forgiveness is hard, and I never counsel somebody to forgive too quickly. I believe that if you forgive too quickly, you don't actually receive the healing that comes from the forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard. But I think there should always be the desire to reconcile, even if we're not in the place for forgiveness. But we'll talk more about that next week. But part of this not wanting revenge is also wanting what's best for that person, even if we can't be a part of that. And I think that's different than cutting someone out.
Yeah, and I would say also that it's really important to remember that what we say about relational conflict is not necessarily what we would say about in cases of abuse. I know people have stayed with abusers in some cases in an attempt to reconcile and in the name of forgiveness, but have ended up subjecting themselves to more pain. So I think it's important to realize that every relationship requires some discernment.
Mm-hmm.
But the ideal is to reflect the kingdom of God in every relationship, with the caveat that humans don't necessarily do that.
No. So as we end this podcast, this is a different kind of reading. Is there anything you take from this that people might grab onto?
I think to have the courage to bring things to light that need to be brought to light, even with clergy and people in authority, that, you know, the joke is that we never actually hear what's actually going on in the church. So just, you know, if there's something, bring it up, not necessarily just with us, but if there's a conflict festering, that can do more damage than actually addressing it, which I think Jesus is calling us to do.
I think this first step of going to someone, I think it actually can even give us some insight as to what might precede conflict to get to the point where we avoid the conflict, not in terms of avoiding it by sweeping under the carpet, but by dealing with issues before they become conflict. And I think this idea of actually having conversations with one another, because the reality is in this COVID time, people do have different visions about what's normal, what's not normal, where we're going, how quickly we should change, what that should look like. People have expectations of what they want it to be, what the reality is. And of course, people think very deeply about that.
And care very deeply about it.
Absolutely. And so this idea of being in intentional conversation rather than just being angry about things that are going on. And so I think this does give us some advice that we need to recognize that people have very strong opinions, and they should have very strong opinions. This is about the gospel and how we live that out. But also this form of love and this desire to be like-minded, as Paul said, and this desire for harmony and this desire to live in peace and to try and put those things together. I think that that's a beautiful vision of the New Testament.
Yeah, and I would add to that, I think it's about speaking the truth in love, that the love comes first. I think what Jesus is trying to get away from here is passive aggressiveness. But speaking the truth about something and being open about something has to be surrounded and filled with the love of God, not in revenge.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very helpful point, because when you come to somebody in conflict, the minute you say something like, "You idiot, you hurt me," of course, nobody's going to hear anything.
Yeah.
There is an art to speaking in a way that other people can hear. And that takes deliberation and intentionality and attention. And I'm going to say a lot of prayer. Like, this has just got to be surrounded by prayer. That's been my experience. Mm-hmm. But with all things, we need to surround everything in prayer. God hears us. It is a beautiful gift that He gives us. Well, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We enjoy making them. It'd be interesting to hear if you have thoughts about how Jesus encourages us to approach conflict in the church. Just please drop your thoughts to RevSteveLondon@gmail.com. Next week, we will talk about forgiveness. And until then, see you later.
See you next week.